Come on, we want more free money. Student loans, don't worry about them. Come on, school choice, what are we talking about? We're gonna discuss it all. You're gonna enjoy it. About George with Gene Ho, coming up. Welcome everyone to About George with Gene Ho. Wow, what a crazy week this was, with all the anticipation, with all the stuff with Trump, passing it off to next week. We don't even know what's going to go on with that. But finishing up this week strong, and we're going to talk a little bit about education today. Anyway, to get us started, let's roll in our guest today. We have Dave Blaze, CEO of George, and we also have Rachel Rightside Blonde, our executive managing editor of George. First of all, and whoever wants to go first, maybe Rachel. We'll have Rachel go first.
How are you, Gene?
Yeah, what was it like to get the issue out? I believe the issue is out, issue 6 of George, and we talk about education. Rachel, tell us a little bit about it.
It was a good month. I think we're getting, like I said before, I think we're getting the process down. Dave is getting a little less, you know, rough with, like, you know, cracking the whip on us all trying to get this stuff done, because we're figuring out our system. So that's good, because then Dave's less stressed out. And that's, as you know, Gene, that's a good thing. We don't want Dave stressed out. So I think it's going to be a great issue. We've already had some good feedback, both on the cover and the article choices. So I think it's going to be a great issue for us.
Oh, my goodness. Rachel's already throwing in the fire. Dave, what was it like?
Let me just add to that this one, a couple of things. Number one, the issue has been launched. It is available for purchase. It is available to subscribe to each month on an autoship basis. And that's the best way to do it. The other thing is, and I know we're asked this question all the time, but the magazine is available to read online in a flipbook format. It's right there on the homepage. And the other thing is, the articles that are contained in the magazine are also available to read fully on the website. So the information is there. The magazine is beautiful to own and also to collect.
Now, Rachel, you got a chance to read all these articles. In a nutshell, what is the gist of this next week? We call it the education issue. I believe that education is a battleground in America. It's a cultural battleground, because I think it's a line in the sand where people's like saying, listen, you know what, if we didn't like what you're doing with sports, we're just not going to go to your games and everything. But with education, affects us all. Rachel, what were some of these articles like that you bring out in the New George?
We have two great articles talking about the globalization of the school system and how teachers' unions kind of play into what the kids have learned. And, you know, me, before 2020, I had no idea how this all worked. So it's just a really eye-opening two articles. And then we have Allison Royal did an article on the libs of TikTok creator, which was, I thought, a great article, because this woman, Chaya, I don't know how to say her last name, but she basically was just trying to expose how these really leftist, I mean, like extreme leftist teachers were indoctrinating these young kids who don't know any better. They're young, they're impressionable. And I mean, I think parents don't really understand how extreme it can get. We think, oh, that's not going on. No, it's happening literally in every state. So that was really eye-opening. And there was also she wrote another article about the unvaccinated families in New York City, which literally made me cry. It was crazy to think of parents not being able to go and watch their kid in a program. One parent was watching from the window outside. So I think this is going to be, when we look back at this time in history, it's going to seem insane what we as parents had to go through, you know, just to have a kid in school. And I think it's been, you know, it's been eye-opening for all of us. So it's been good, but rough point in history to witness what's been going on.
Now, Dave, you were really the one, I hate to use the word pushing for this, but you really wanted an education issue. Was this the reason that you wanted all these points about what our school system has become nowadays? Did you want to bring it to the forefront, or was it just like, hey, well, this is the hot topic of what we're doing?
No. Okay, it's super important, because these are lessons that are not learned in schools these days. And the history, of how this all starts with the Socialist Party beginning in Chicago at the turn of the 20th century, and how they infiltrated throughout our society, running congressional candidates, they ran presidential candidates. When they were thwarted in those efforts, then they began swarming into the various school systems around the country. So the good majority of teachers have that mindset. I'm not saying all, but a good majority do have a socialist style mindset. Then on top of that, you add in the teachers union and all of their ideology. So this is all what's plaguing the schools. So with that in mind, we can't keep continually turning out students who have no idea about this nation's history, can barely read, can barely write. I've seen video segments where they're asking children to please tell time on a clock, and they can't even read a watch. I mean, this is horrendous. So cleaning up the education system is adjacent to like shutting the water flow off, right? Let's stop it right there at the children, and then we can start cleaning up everything else.
Great points all, but I want to talk about another topic that's in the news, basically as we speak, has to do with further education or higher education. Anyway, Greg, roll it.
The fate of student loan debt relief is still uncertain, but the Biden administration today releasing new details about what options are available for people facing bankruptcy on their student loans. 22 News reporter Kate Wilkinson explains your options.
Well, it's unclear exactly how student loan forgiveness is going to shake out in the courts. The key thing here is to prepare. Don't panic.
While the Department of Justice appeals a federal court judge's decision to block up to $20,000 in student loan forgiveness, the same organization announced a new process for people facing bankruptcy on their student loans. The goal would be to make it easier for student loan borrowers to declare bankruptcy.
Okay, I'll start us off with a conversation right now, and I'll hit it up to Rachel.
Racket.
Oh, well, no, well, let's talk about it. Here's the thing. When it comes to student loan forgiveness, I'm against that. Just case in point, I don't have student loans. But the thing is, if there was a provision there for bankruptcy, I know how harsh the bankruptcy laws are. I would almost like segue into that saying, like maybe part of it. Anyway, Rachel, your thoughts. I know you went to college and had, I don't know if you had student loans or not, but Rachel, your floor.
Okay. I totally disagree with letting student loans be forgiven, because if you look at it as an investment to your future, just like, you know, someone takes job training, for instance, you have a college or a high school grad, and they have a choice between, you know, going to the trades, getting their real estate license, or going to college. And they take that training. If they fail at it, does someone else come and bail them out? No. It's a choice that we make. It's a risk that we take to go to college and to pay that money. Luckily, I did have a scholarship. And I think now at this point in history, parents are waking up to the fact that college is not the only option. And, you know, when I was in high school, it was like, next thing is college. There's really no other option. It's just what you do. But 2023 is very different. We're starting to see that it is kind of a scam in some ways, that you get these young people to go and spend, you know, tens of thousands of dollars that they'll pay off when they're like 40, you know, and maybe not even use their degree. I have a master's degree I'm currently not using. So it's okay. It's crazy that people are, you know, wanting to get that forgiven.
Okay. Dave, your thoughts on this student loans forgiveness, pro or against,
right,
or is there a midway between that? All right.
No, I think that there needs to be, and this is going to be very controversial, but I would think that the whole racket needs to come to an end. And the racket is that these colleges and universities that are churning out nothing more than unwitting socialists and communists need to stop obtaining funds through a student. So in other words, if you want to go to one of these universities, you need to actually take the loan out. The money goes directly to the university, and then you are saddled with the debt for that money. So take something where people think doctors make a lot of money. So we'll talk about going to med school. So you go to med school, it's roughly about anywhere from $60,000 to $90,000 per semester. You're there for 4 years. Then after that, you have post-grad work, and then you have residency at a particular hospital. You are so bogged down with debt from your education. So what happens? You got to pay back that debt. So then you get a job offer from a hospital. And the hospital gives you a contract where you're going to work at the hospital as a resident doctor, emergency room, whatever it is. And they will pay you a certain salary and so forth. So now you have enough money to pay back to start making payments on your debt to the university. But now also the hospital gets to fully dictate to you their policies. And you as a physician must follow the hospital's policies as opposed to maybe making suggestions and prescriptions to the patients that you feel are in the best for that particular patient. You're not allowed to do that. You have to follow the hospital policy or you're out on your behind. And now you have all that debt to contain to deal with. So that's the horrible racket that these student loans actually bring forward. All right. So what do you do about it? You got to wipe them out and start from scratch. The colleges, if they get money, it's going to be through endowments from former students, corporations, or whatever it is, and government funding and government loans to colleges and universities stop.
No, listen, let's do this. Let's take a break. I want to continue that thought right there. Because I'll be honest, you're sounding like a lib right now. Let's just get rid of it all. And I know it's a broken system. Anyway, let's do this. We'll be right back about George with Gene Ho coming back.
Banks are supposed to be the safest placeholders for cash in the world. But in 2022, that changed. The Federal Reserve pulled out $2.5 trillion of liquidity out of the banks. And the Fed also changed the requirements so banks don't need to keep any funds on hand. This means banks are starved for liquidity and have now become very dangerous places to hold your assets. Get out of the system with the world's safest and most private assets, silver and gold. Call Kirk Elliott, PhD at 720-605-3900. Genocide Jab by John Michael Chambers is now an Amazon number one bestseller. If you've not yet read this critically important book that exposes uncomfortable truths, you should get your copy now. Or bundle with The World Awakens Volume 1 and 2 and get a 20% discount at ampnews.us.
Welcome back, everyone, to About George with Gene Ho. And by the way, I read John Michael Chambers' books. I watched the same commercials as you do. Great book. You got to check it out. Okay, going back into our panel now and with the discussion here, I'll be honest, before we send it off to Rachel here.
I am far from being a liberal, and everybody that knows me knows that. But okay, it's racket that has to end, Gene.
Right, but how, okay, so if it has to end, here is what I say a conservative says. Hey, I hate to say it like this, okay? You were dumb enough to take the loan, you should have to pay it back. You knew what you were getting into. You signed on it. Okay, Rachel, your thoughts on this?
I think back in the old, like back when I say old days, like I'm ancient. Okay, 20 some years ago when I was in college, I think that was kind of the mentality. But like now, like I mentioned, parents are aware of the fact that college is not the only option. So I don't think that's going to be the mentality moving forward because there are other options. But I do still think it's a decision that you have to make and parents have to educate their kids on, you know, we do that all the time. If you walk out in the street, you could get hit by a car. Okay, if you go to college, you're going to have all this debt. It's just something we have to educate our kids on, it that the cause and effect. You go to do this, this is what's going to happen.
Okay, I'm going to let Dave, before we move on to the next topic. Dave, my sister is a medical doctor. Here's the thing with her. She was telling me that when she was in school, there were a lot of people that went into school for that, but they got saddled up with so much debt and they didn't want to become a doctor. They decided they didn't want to do that, and or they couldn't pass the board exams or whatever. And I'll just say it, they were screwed for the rest of their lives because they don't have a doctor's salary and they had to also pay off their student debt. For people like right. that, Dave, what do you think? I would say allow them to have bankruptcy. I'm not saying forgive them for all
bankruptcy.
Everything,
but like, no, you can't. So in other words, that's that's like saying either you go into debt prison or we put you in the stockade and flog you every day for 3 years. You can't do that. You can't do it. You got to let what is being missed by the quote unquote conservatives who just regurgitate talking points is that this is a racket. The whole college university thing is one giant money making racket. If they want to stay in business, let them beg money from corporations and let them beg money from former students or endowments or however they get their funds. And that's the end of it. If they make it, great. If they don't make it, oh well. And if they make it, that's because they were smart enough to attract good students into their organization. It shouldn't be the whole, the government funds it through the student. Now the student is just another debt hole. I mean, it's crazy. And then to get out of it, what are you going to do? You're going to force these kids into these people into bankruptcy? That carries on. You know, everyone thinks, oh, it's just it'll only be 7 years that you'll need to live in a hole. No, that stays on your credit record forever. Forever. Warning to other creditors, maybe 15 years from now, that'll say, oh, well, we can't take a chance on this character. They might, you know, go bankrupt again.
I tell you what, my suggestion is no more sports scholarships.
You know what, Gene? You're just jealous because I have height over you and you're so scared to play horse against me, okay? That's the only reason you keep attacking sports.
We're doing one-on-one. I'm telling you, when you come visit, we're do one. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So we got off to a good start here. Okay. Here's the other major thing. Wait till you see this. This one is going to be, because we talked about it over. Okay. Anyway, we'll let it run. Greg, roll it.
More funding and less vouchers. That was the simple message from the Texas American Federation of Teachers as members rallied outside the AFL-CIO building in Austin Monday.
When I heard the governor and others talk about we're going to fully fund public schools and vouchers at the same time, I said, how the hell can he fix his mouth to say that?
Indeed, Governor Abbott has strongly advocated for school choice vouchers in recent months, which would give families up to $10,000 to send their child to private school.
No parent should be hindered in their ability to utilize that power to do everything they can.
Okay, I'm going to give Rachel the first word on this one, and here's why. I know in her home state, they went to school vouchers. I know in my home state, Arkansas, they just passed the same thing. It just seems like a trend, these vouchers, and I'll just explain it to everybody. The government says, hey, and this is for easy math, for each student that goes to private school, we're used to spending $10,000 on them, but we'll give it to the parent, and the parent can use it for homeschooling, go to a private school, wherever they want to go. Student choice. Okay, Rachel, your thoughts, good or bad?
Well, like you said, we just passed that here in Iowa, and I actually emailed my representative to tell her that I was in support of it. And her reply was, she's a Democrat, was that she wanted more transparency when it came to the financials of where the money goes. And I replied with, well, then we need more transparency when it comes to the curriculum and the, you know, social aspects that you're teaching our children. I pulled my kids out of public school due to the COVID stuff, but I'm really pleased with the private school that my kids go to. My tax money should go to where my kids go to school. It's silly that I'm spending all this money each year and it's gonna go to a public school that my kids don't even attend. I'm a former athlete. I'm for competition, I'm for capitalism, and may the best man win. I mean, I think that's just the way it should be. And if the public schools need to up their ante and get better so that they can compete, I don't see a problem with that. It's only going to help the kids that go to the public school and learn from the public school, it's going to give them a better education as well. So those are just, it's my opinion. That's how I feel about it.
No, it's all good. Hold on a second.
Let me just interject real quick. Now, if a child does not go to the public school, does the public school still get the funding?
No, still get no. That's what they're all up in arms with. That's right.
And that was the problem during the pandemic time, where the schools were trying desperately not to lose any government funding. And that's why they were having the kids come with the masks on and all this other nonsense, just to maintain the money flow. So that's what this battle is really about.
Let me just say from this standpoint, my children are homeschooled, but before that they went to private school. At the private school, I hate to be like we're all richy rich, it wasn't like that, but there was only so many people that were able to go to that school, and then parents would network with these people at that school, and then these children, quite frankly, there was less people there. Now with the COVID thing, a lot of these parents just abandoned public school and then went there. I'll be honest, it was very difficult to tell the difference between a private school and a public school at that private school because there were so many children there. So anyone could, I just think that it's not the best idea to have the vouchers follow the parent, even though I must say, I would not mind the money coming to us since we homeschool the children. Okay, whoever wants to weigh in.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
All right, let's do Rachel first.
Most private schools still have, you know, certain entrance. You have to meet certain criteria to be able to get into some of them. Not the one that my kids go to. I don't think they have anything like that, entrance exams or anything. But certain ones I know do. There is one here in Des Moines that's like that. But I think the school can still set their own parameters in terms of academic level, because if a parent has a gifted child, that child should be challenged. They shouldn't, you know, be forced to stay. And I think that's part of the problem with public school is that some of those kids don't get challenged. So I don't know. That's my thoughts on that.
Let me weigh in. And then if Dave has anything, he could finish off here. The only thing with that, Rachel, is this was a private Christian school. And the criteria was you go in a room with the parent and the children. They say, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. They go, welcome into the room. And then what you end up happening is a bunch of just children in there that are doing smoking cigarettes or whatever you want, you know, vaping, whatever. I don't know. But I'm just saying it just warded it down. Okay. About a minute or a minute and a half, Dave, anything you want to say to finish up the panel?
Well, please. Even no matter how many children go to the private school's curriculum will not change, correct?
Yes, correct.
All right. So that remains the same. Now the private school is going to be getting all that additional funding per student. Right. So they'll be making the necessary adjustments and hirings and growth to accommodate that. Right. I really don't see a downside. Now, of course, there will be the radical left that will want to immediately take their woke children or that they've brainwashed into wokeness and with their voucher go to a conservative Christian private school and try and completely disrupt that. That's gonna happen, but that's gonna happen no matter what you do. So the thing is, I think the vouchers are a great idea.
Okay,
bring them in so they can be indoctrinated, you know?
There you go. Well, right. The vouchers are a great idea. And Gene, I'm sorry, but you know, we're gonna have more children at your private school.
There will be no sports in my private school. We will not compete in sports.
Hey, when Gene and I play horse, we'll be sure to record it and let it. When Gene and I play horse, we'll be sure to record it and post it for everyone to see.
This is our new money-making idea. We'll do a pay-per-view. Me versus Rachel 101. Come on. We're going to lower the baskets. We're going to lower the baskets so I can dunk on
them. No, we'll all right, put guys. Gene on the little crane and have him behind CGI and have him jumping on the
top
of
it. Yes. Come on. We got to make a lot of money. This is going to be good. Good for ratings. Come on. All right. Guys, thank you very much for joining me once again. For everyone else, stay tuned. I'll have my closing thoughts in just a minute about George with Gene Ho coming back.
the world is about to shift. Banks are going cashless globally with the emergence of central bank digital currency, which will bring with it programmable money and the ability to turn on or off your purchasing power based on your digital social profile. It's like the equivalent of spyware in your bank account. You need to get out of the system with the world's safest and most private assets, silver and gold. Call Kirk Elliott, PhD, 720-605-3900.
Welcome back, everyone, to About George with Gene Ho. A couple of little notes that I want to talk about. First of all, don't forget to go to AmericanMediaPeriscope.com. Check out AMP Insider. It's kind of like the backstage pass to all of this. I'm going to be posting a video of the Blaze Team Studio where we record my show here. All this stuff, you got to check it out. The other thing is, don't forget, go to GeorgeOnline.com and see and read our newest issue. You can read it for free, or you can actually get a physical magazine sent to you and or subscription. Now, one of the things I want to mention with this, I tell you what, all these stories and all these magazines, a lot goes into it. One of the discussions that me and the George team had, we brought out that it's interesting that most of us can remember all the names of our teachers in grades 1 through 6. For the George cover, what we did is we put a photo of an old-time schoolhouse, kind of like the Little House on the Prairie type schoolhouse. You can see it right there. And if you could think about this, we remember our teachers that we had in first grade, second grade, third grade. Remember all of that because they spent the whole day with you. And I'll be honest, I think a lot of them, even though the older teachers really cared about us too, when you get into high school, you didn't really spend a lot of time with them. But if we could go back to a system possibly where every year you have one teacher teaching you math, science, all this stuff, just like my own children are homeschooled, they have their mom teaching them. It endears the students to the teacher and endears the teachers to the children as well, and it brings a stronger bond. Just like I said, go back in time. I bet you anything, you can remember all the teachers, their names from first through sixth grade or so. After that, you might have a favorite teacher or so, but truthfully, a lot of them, your favorite teachers were your coaches. Because after school, every single day, you spend a lot of time with your coach. Not to say that that's a solution to everything, but maybe, just maybe, that was the formula for success back then when it came to education, where you had teachers that really cared rather than going in there for a period, 45 minutes, an hour and a half with one teacher, with one subject, and then going on to another teacher. I'll be honest, I could barely remember some of my high school teachers at all. That all being said, I'm telling you, you got to check out tomorrow's show. We have one of the Real Housewives of Orange County. Why would we have that on our show? Come on, you're going to talk a lot about it because it talks about censorship, talks about free speech. She got fired for the show. It's going to be interesting. So that's tomorrow. Kelly Dodd, you got to check out that show for sure. And then the other thing, again, don't forget, next week we got some great shows. And please go to GeorgeOnline.com. New issue, issue 6, out right now. That all being said, what a great week. And we're going to finish up strong tomorrow. So for everyone else, About George with Gene Ho, we will see you tomorrow.